Welcome back. It's Dr. Catricia, and for this Medical Monday, we're talking about the power of play. I'm going to be introducing to you several different fun games that you can start in infancy to introduce your little one to so that it's engaging and it helps build their cognitive skills. That's right. You can start as early as in infancy when they're still just sitting on your lap. So listen in and don't forget, share this episode with a new mom. You never know how this would help her engage more with her baby. Stay tuned. Welcome and thank you for listening to the Dr. Mom Sage Advice Podcast. Are you a single mom who is tired of feeling overwhelmed by doing it all? Have you been asking yourself, what is my real purpose outside of motherhood and my career? Are you tired of yelling, feeling mom guilt at the end of the day? If you're ready to go from chaos to confidence in your mindset and in parenting, then this is the place for you. Here we are authentic, transparent, and frankly, we're here to burst all of those mom guilt bubbles and empower you to take back control of your life so you can go from just surviving in motherhood to thriving and walking confidently in your best purpose-filled life God intended for you. I'm your host, Dr. Catricia, a board-certified bilingual pediatrician. I'm also fellowship-trained in pediatric urgent care medicine. That's just my fancy title for the weekdays, but 24/7, I'm the proud single mommy of my little wild mini-me toddler. I'm also a postpartum depression survivor. Now, I'm on a mission to empower other single moms to take back control of their life. Through candid conversations, we will learn, be encouraged, inspired, and committed to making practical changes so we can be our best selves for the queen who reigns already inside of us. So sit back and relax, mommy. This is your time to unwind. Go ahead, grab your favorite drink. Pour me one too, queen, because it's time for our girl talk. Let's talk about all things motherhood, mindset, and even medicine. No, not like medicine, but you know, remember, I'm a pediatrician. So I'm gonna go ahead and give you some pediatric tips on how to parent, right? I hope that you love listening to and learning from the podcast, but please remember, it's not intended to be a substitution for a physician-patient relationship. All right, queen, if you're ready, I'm ready. Let's go.
Let's begin in the lap. Lap lessons. As soon as your child can hold their head up, which is usually around when she's 1 or 3 months of life, settle her on your lap and begin to bounce or rock her while you sing or recite a rhyme. Surprise her at the end by dipping her down. After a while of all these repetitions, she begins to anticipate when that next dip is going to come. And she's going to be so excited and even start to kind of bounce herself as she gets older when she knows the dip is coming. Exposure to a language from an early age, the language in the poem and the songs that you're singing is so important. The more words your baby hears, the better. It is amazing for their brain development. As your child gets older, she's going to start to anticipate the next word in the rhyme, just like she anticipates those dips. That shows that her cognitive recognition, which is the ability to remember and to process and to adapt information, is increasing. Follow her cues as to how much bouncing and dipping she wants. If she shows signs she likes to stop, then go ahead and stop and move along to game number 2, which is imitating sounds. What does the cat say? Or in our bilingual home, when my daughter was of this age, I'd say, ¿Cómo lo hace una vaca? And she'd say, moo. Imitating those sounds, those animal sounds, is actually the precursor for developing language. It really helps them to understand the different vocals of vowels and consonants that we use to put together in the English language. Ask questions about various animals. And then answer it yourself by making exaggerated animal sounds, right? The noises are going to captivate even your newborn because it changes in the tone and pitch of your voice. And by the time they're 4 or 5 months old, they're going to try to make the similar sounds. This is important. Imitation is important for not only cognitive development, but emotionally as well. because they're picking up on your cues and your facial expressions. And you'll see this play out once they become around 8 to 9 months, when they start to develop kind of separation anxiety. And even when they are around 15 months, when they have separation anxiety and they check in with you to make sure that, or not separation anxiety, I said that twice, 14 and 15 months when they start to have stranger anxiety and they're checking in with you to see, is it okay for me to like this person too? Plus, animal sounds, like I said, are a stepping stone towards speech development. Next game, we all played this game before. It's your peekaboo game, right? What is so cool about peekaboo? Well, it really is teaching them about object permanence. And object permanence doesn't really come into play until your child is about 8 months and is not completely developed until they're 10 months. What is object permanence? It means that I know something exists even when I can't see it. The whole, okay, mommy's behind the hands and that's why they pull your hands down. Or if you say, where's the dog? And you hit it under the blanket. By the time they're 8 or 9 months, they're going to go snatching that blanket up because they know that's where you put it. Versus your younger one, they'll see those eyes bright and they're looking and they're waiting, but they don't know to go under the blanket, even though they just saw you put it under the blanket. So playing peekaboo is another way to engage your young infant. Okay, next one, pat a cake. That's right, pat a cake. At first, you put your baby on your lap and you repeat the rhyme while clapping their hands together for them. By the time they're 8 or 9 months, they'll be able to clap on their own. Why is this great? Because playing pat a cake exercises rhythm and coordination. It also helps your baby develop spatial awareness. That is, as they discover where to place their hands. This comes into play when, like, they start doing puzzles, right? I joke all the time. My 5-year-old is a beast at doing puzzles. And she actually started doing puzzles at the age of 3 in her preschool class. And it was her teacher who noticed. I would come and pick her up and there'd be these floor puzzles on the floor, like large size puzzles. And her comment was, she's the only one that usually will set and complete them. Like, she didn't give up. And when she puts them together, when I say she's a beast, it's because it takes her no time to finish a puzzle. Whether she's done it multiple times or it's her first time seeing the puzzle, she'll get it done pretty fast. Meanwhile, I'm like, let me turn it in this direction. No. Let me go this angle. Like, can't you tell that's why I didn't go into surgery? So pat a cake helps them with spatial awareness. How can you make this game even better? Well, start to move their hands in the direction, left hand crossing over to reach your left hand, right hand crossing over to reach your right hand. And by the time they're one, they're going to be able to do this crossing over in this imaginary line space by the time they meet their first birthday. This helps them with the complex motor skill that usually you're going to see that is needed when it comes to learning how to utilize utensils and even for writing later on in life, okay? What about the older kids? What are some things we can do with them? Here are some key concepts that you can start to incorporate, especially when it comes to more cognitive skills, when it comes to learning letters and early math skills, okay? So learning letters, start with their name. Did you know by the time your child is 2, they can actually recognize the letters that are inside of their name? So my daughter, very simple name, only 4 letters. But when she was in her 2-year-old class, they actually had their names listed on the back of their chairs. And I thought to myself, as a whole pediatrician, you guys, now how is she recognizing her name? But sure enough, she did. And not only did she know her name, she recognized her friends' names as well, because it was a part of their routine. They would go down, and thankfully, who knows, probably there wasn't that many kids in the room with this name, with a name whose first letter was similar to another person. So maybe there was only 1 T or 1 S, but for sure, they not only were recognizing their names in print, but also their friends' names in print, especially when it came to picking up papers. She was like, no, that's not mine. So they can start to recognize the letters in their name. A quick game that you can do, and we used to do when we would ride to school, would be, oh, so for instance, your child's name is Harper. Well, Harper starts with the letter H. What else starts with H? Hot starts with H. What else? And get them to name words for you. And as they get a little bit older, into age 3 and 4, and we're working on sight words, like things we do when we're waiting in a waiting room at the doctor's office, or we're grocery shopping, or one day we were in the Goodwill, and it was taking a while for us to get checked out, to keep her entertained, I'm like, can you spell that word for me? What does that say? You know, and we worked on our sounds, we worked on our phonics. And then from there, we took whatever word we found. So say it was shirt. And then we tried to rhyme with that. And we did this for about 2 to 3 minutes. And finally, this lady approached us and she said, "Are you a teacher?" I said, "No, I'm not a teacher. I'm a pediatrician." She was like, "Well, you're doing a good job," because I don't remember what word it was, you guys. She was like, "But whatever word we had just did," she was like, "that's a really hard word for my students to get." So then my daughter goes, "Is she a teacher?" No, she said, "And I used to be a teacher, you know, so I know these things." And I was like, "Okay, great." And so my daughter says, "Well, she's not a teacher now. What is she, retired?" I'm like, "Yeah, she's retired. That's what I want to be." But until then, I'm going to keep working on teaching my daughter these skills so that she can go ahead and make that money so she can retire me early. Isn't that right, Mama? Raise your hand if you're with me. Moving on to numbers. So knowing numbers, even though your child may be able to recite by memory the numbers 1 through 10, it's not really until they're around age 3 or so that they actually, in 3 and 4 preschool years, where they're actually able to start to count. So things that you can do with helping their counting skills is to tally up things. So if we are cleaning up, you know how they do. "Oh, I can't clean it up. It's too much." I would always play a game like, "Okay, you pick up the red bears, I pick up the blue bears, and let's see who can go fast." Or, "Give me 5 Barbies first, and then give me 2 Barbies. Then give me 1 book, and then give me 2 shoes." So playing a game like that when you're tallying things up, sorting, right? Sorting and comparing and contrasting based on size, shape, color, weight. All of that are early math skills that help them later on as they advance in their elementary and middle school years, okay? Show your child how to separate things. Have them act out on observing what they're seeing. Ask your child to group their stuffed animals, again, by the type. So put all the cats on one side and all the tigers in another pile. Sometime before the age of 2, your child's going to be able to recognize the difference between less and more. And you'll be able to ask questions like, "Which pile has the most? And which pile has the least?" Again, definitely will help them with their math skills. Okay? What else can you do? Well, you can also classify colors. You can turn this game, with an older child, of course, into something as simple as letting them dip their fingers into finger paint and creating different streaks of colors on a poster board. And as you go through each color, you name the colors and identify the colors. Once it's dry, you could do a special project such as a scavenger hunt around the house. Find me something that's red. Find me something that's blue. Then you could talk about the different hues of the color. So is this a light blue or is this a dark blue? And that's actually a concept my daughter learned in her preschool, because that's not something I worked on with her, because first child didn't really know. And she started saying things like, "Well, what's your favorite color, Mama?" And she already knew since the age of 2, she had everyone in our family memorized her favorite color, Mommy's favorite color, her abuelo's favorite color, Tia's favorite color. And by remote memory, right? But it wasn't until she was 4 that I would still answer, "Well, my favorite color is still blue." But then she'd say, "But is it light blue or dark blue?" And I'm like, "Oh, well, she kind of knows more colors." And now we have this beautiful book called Mixed. And it talks about the primary colors mixing and how that created new colors. And so now we're of age where we're talking about colors like jade and sage, of course, and burgundies and lavender. So it's a beautiful book. But those are just some simple early activities you can do. You don't even have to have more than 10 minutes. It could be something as simple as a bath time or when you're cutting up vegetables. "Okay, I need you to move all the red vegetables into this bowl and all the orange vegetables into this bowl." Because remember, the more you involve them in the prep, the more likely they are going to want to be curious and trying that new food that you're cooking, right? Especially if you have a picky eater. Get them involved, hands on. Okay. So I hope you guys enjoy these key concepts as it relates to the power of play and how you can introduce this into your child's daily activities. You don't have to be a stay-at-home mom. You don't have to be a homeschooler. You can do this even now. I wish you all good luck and talk to you soon. The power of play is amazing because everything your infant sees and does is new, which means they constantly are trying to understand the world that's around them, including when they're playing. They're gonna learn even better if they have a friendly face. That's you, Mommy, to help them along the way. So here are some classic games to encourage your baby's development while having fun. Let's begin in the lap. Lap lessons. As soon as your child can hold their head up, which is usually around when she's 1 or 3 months of life, settle her on your lap and begin to bounce or rock her while you sing or recite a rhyme. Surprise her at the end by dipping her down. After a while of all these repetitions, she begins to anticipate when that next dip is going to come, and she's going to be so excited and even start to kind of bounce herself as she gets older when she knows the dip is coming. Exposure to a language from an early age, the language in the poem and the songs that you're singing, is so important. The more words your baby hears, the better. It is amazing for their brain development. As your child gets older, she's going to start to anticipate the next word in the rhyme, just like she anticipates those dips. That shows that her cognitive recognition, which is the ability to remember and to process and to adapt information, is increasing. Follow her cues as to how much bouncing and dipping she wants. If she shows signs she likes to stop, then go ahead and stop. And move along to game number 2, which is imitating sounds. What does the cat say? Or in our bilingual home, when my daughter was of this age, I'd say, ¿Cómo lo hace una vaca? And she'd say, moo. Imitating those sounds, those animal sounds, is actually the precursor for developing language. It really helps them to understand the different vocals of vowels and consonants that we use to put together in the English language. Ask questions about various animals and then answer it yourself by making exaggerated animal sounds, right? The noises are going to captivate even your newborn because it changes in the tone and pitch of your voice. And by the time they're 4 or 5 months old, they're going to try to make the similar sounds. This is important. Imitation is important for not only cognitive development, but emotionally as well, because they're picking up on your cues and your facial expressions. And you'll see this play out once they become around 8 to 9 months, when they start to develop kind of separation anxiety. And even when they are around 15 months, when they have separation anxiety and they check in with you to make sure that, or not separation anxiety, I said that twice. 14 and 15 months when they start to have stranger anxiety and they're checking in with you to see, is it okay for me to like this person too? Plus, animal sounds, like I said, are a stepping stone towards speech development. Next game, we all played this game before. It's your peekaboo game, right? What is so cool about peekaboo? Well, it really is teaching them about object permanence. And object permanence doesn't really come into play until your child is about 8 months and is not completely developed until they're 10 months. What is object permanence? It means that I know something exists even when I can't see it. The whole, okay, mommy's behind the hands and that's why they pull your hands down. Or if you say, where's the dog? And you hit it under the blanket, by the time they're 8 or 9 months, they're going to go snatching that blanket up because they know that's where you put it. Versus your younger one, you'll see those eyes bright and they're looking and they're waiting, but they don't know to go under the blanket, even though they just saw you put it under the blanket. So playing peekaboo is another way to engage your young infant. Okay, next one, pat a cake. That's right, pat a cake. At first, you put your baby on your lap and you repeat the rhyme while clapping their hands together for them. By the time they're 8 or 9 months, they'll be able to clap on their own. Why is this great? Because playing pat a cake exercises rhythm and coordination. It also helps your baby develop spatial awareness. That is, as they discover where to place their hands. This comes into play when, like, they start doing puzzles, right? I joke all the time. My 5-year-old is a beast at doing puzzles. And she actually started doing puzzles at the age of 3 in her preschool class. And it was her teacher who noticed. I would come and pick her up and there'd be these floor puzzles on the floor, like large size puzzles. And her comment was, she's the only one that usually will set and complete them. Like, she didn't give up. And when she puts them together, when I say she's a beast, it's because it takes her no time to finish a puzzle. Whether she's done it multiple times or it's her first time seeing the puzzle, she'll get it done pretty fast. Meanwhile, I'm like, let me turn it in this direction. No. Let me go this angle. Like, can't you tell that's why I didn't go into surgery? So pat a cake helps them with spatial awareness. How can you make this game even better? will start to move their hands in the direction, left hand crossing over to reach your left hand, right hand crossing over to reach your right hand. And by the time they're one, they're going to be able to do this crossing over in this imaginary line space by the time they meet their first birthday. This helps them with the complex motor skill that usually you're going to see that is needed when it comes to learning how to utilize utensils and even for writing later on in life, okay? What about the older kids? What are some things we can do with them? Here are some key concepts that you can start to incorporate, especially when it comes to more cognitive skills, when it comes to learning letters and early math skills, okay? So learning letters, start with their name. Did you know by the time your child is two, they can actually recognize the letters that are inside of their name? So my daughter, very simple name, only four letters. But when she was in her two-year-old class, they actually had their names listed on the back of their chairs. And I thought to myself, as a whole pediatrician, you guys, now how is she recognizing her name? But sure enough, she did. And not only did she know her name, she recognized her friends' names as well, because it was a part of their routine. They would go down, and thankfully, who knows, probably there wasn't that many kids in the room with this name, with a name whose first letter was similar to another person. So maybe there was only one T or one S, but for sure, they not only were recognizing their names in print, but also their friends' names in print, especially when it came to picking up papers. She was like, no, that's not mine. So they can start to recognize the letters in their name. A quick game that you can do and we used to do when we would ride to school would be, oh, for instance, your child's name is Harper. Oh, Harper starts with the letter H. What else starts with H? Hot starts with H. What else? And get them to name words for you. And as they get a little bit older, into age 3 and 4, and we're working on sight words, like things we do when we're waiting in a waiting room at the doctor's office, or we're grocery shopping, or one day we were in the Goodwill, and it was taking a while for us to get checked out to keep her entertained. I'm like, can you spell that word for me? What does that say? You know, and we worked on our sounds, we worked on our phonics, and then from there, we took whatever word we found, so say it was shirt, and then we tried to rhyme with that. And we did this for about 2 to 3 minutes, and finally this lady approached us, and she said, are you a teacher? I said, no, I'm not a teacher, I'm a pediatrician. She was like, well, you're doing a good job, because I don't remember what word it was, you guys. She was like, but whatever word we had just did, she was like, that's a really hard word for my students to get. So then my daughter goes, is she a teacher? No, she said, and I used to be a teacher, you know, so I know these things. And I was like, okay, great. And so my daughter says, well, if she's not a teacher now, what is she, retired? I'm like, yeah, she's retired. That's what I want to be. But until then, I'm going to keep working on teaching my daughter these skills so that she can go ahead and make that money so she can retire me early. Isn't that right, Mama? Raise your hand if you're with me. Moving on to numbers. So knowing numbers, even though your child may be able to recite by memory the numbers 1 through 10, it's not really until they're around age 3 or so that they actually, in 3 and 4 preschool years, where they're actually able to start to count. So things that you can do with helping their counting skills is to tally up things. So if we are cleaning up, you know how they do. Oh, I can't clean it up. It's too much. I would always play a game like, okay, you pick up the red bears, I pick up the blue bears, and let's see who can go fast. Or give me 5 Barbies first, and then give me 2 Barbies. Then give me 1 book, and then give me 2 shoes. So playing a game like that when you're tallying things up, sorting, right? Sorting and comparing and contrasting based on size, shape, color, weight. All of that are early math skills that help them later on as they advance in their elementary and middle school years, okay? Show your child how to separate things. Have them act out on observing what they're seeing. Ask your child to group their stuffed animals, again, by the type. So put all the cats on one side and all the tigers in another pile. Sometime before the age of 2, your child's going to be able to recognize the difference between less and more. And you'll be able to ask questions like, which pile has the most? And which pile has the least? Again, definitely will help them with their math skills. Okay? What else can you do? Well, you can also classify colors. You can turn this game, with an older child, of course, into something as simple as letting them dip their fingers into finger paint and creating different streaks of colors on a poster board. And as you go through each color, you name the colors and identify the colors Once it's dry, you could do a special project such as a scavenger hunt around the house. Find me something that's red. Find me something that's blue. Then you could talk about the different hues of the color. So is this a light blue or is this a dark blue? And that's actually a concept my daughter learned in her preschool, because that's not something I worked on with her because first child, didn't really know. And she started saying things like, well, what's your favorite color, mama? And she already knew since the age of two, she had everyone in her family memorized her favorite color, mommy's favorite color, her abuelo's favorite color, tia's favorite color. And by remote memory, right? But it wasn't until she was four that I would still answer, well, my favorite color is still blue. But then she'd say, but is it light blue or dark blue? And I'm like, oh, well, she kind of knows more colors. And now we have this beautiful book called Mixed. And it talks about the primary colors mixing and how that created new colors. And so now we're of age where we're talking about colors like jade and sage, of course, and burgundies and lavender. So it's a beautiful book. But those are just some simple early activities you can do. You don't even have to have more than 10 minutes. It could be something as simple as a bath time or when you're cutting up vegetables. Okay, I need you to move all the red vegetables into this bowl and all the orange vegetables into this bowl. Because remember, the more you involve them in the prep, the more likely they are going to want to be curious in trying that new food that you're cooking, right? Especially if you have a picky eater. Get them involved, hands on. Okay? So I hope you guys enjoy these key concepts as it relates to the power of play and how you can introduce this into your child's daily activities. You don't have to be a stay-at-home mom. You don't have to be a homeschooler. You can do this even now. I wish you all good luck and talk to you soon.